Why don't you stand to your feet and let's love him this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just give him a hand clap of praise across the building. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I've got something to be thankful about. Without Jesus, you wouldn't like the man that's standing in front of you. Without Jesus, I probably wouldn't like you too well either. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But with Jesus, with his love and his mercy and his grace, we're brand new. Hallelujah. We can make it. We can be overcomers. We can be more than victorious. Hallelujah. With Jesus. With Jesus. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I praise you. I really, really like that song. Thank you, musicians, singers. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his grace, love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Parentheses there, it says, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Finally, verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Everybody say that, exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I ask you to touch your word today. Touch each and every heart that is here. Open our minds and hearts to understanding. Give us a desire to live for you above all else. Make us willing servants, O Lord. Guide and keep each word that I speak in love and in your will. I give you praise in advance for what you have already done and what you are going to do in this service. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. What a wonderful day to be alive. What a wonderful day to be in the presence of God. What a wonderful day to be in fellowship with brothers and sisters, men and women, young and old, praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amazing grace. Amazing grace is one of the favorite hymns of millions of people. I suppose that through the years of time, it has blessed more people, calmed more hearts, and inspired more devotion to the Lord than just about any other Christian song that you hear or that is in the history of the world from it coming out. And you cross denominations, you cross theology, you cross all these things, but when you begin to sing Amazing Grace, everybody sings it. Everybody knows of the Amazing Grace. John Newton was exalted and by the true spirit of divine inspiration when he penned those words, Amazing Grace,
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And if I would begin to sing it, everybody in here could pick up the hymn. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Now you know why I don't sing with them, because they sound good. Hallelujah. Amazing grace, though. And I want to talk to you about the amazing power of grace. Of all the wonderful blessings that God's Word reveals, grace is probably the most misunderstood. Some think it is actually a license to sin. Others teach that grace has predestined some to be saved while barring the doors forever for others and the rest of us to just be lost. And still others twist grace to mean that God conveniently and conventionally and he just blindly accepts their sinning, and somehow he turns your sinning into righteousness so you could be saved, and you know once saved always saved, and you have a free ticket because of grace. And then there's a segment of Christians and Christianity throughout the world that even go so far as to teach that grace removes man removes from man the power and his power of free choice, that by grace you know, once you believe, you are made into this some kind of robot, and you just for the rest of time you've got it made, you know, you've got your ticket. And even though he may turn some into reprobates or reveling, or you know, they might be delighting in the utmost filth of sin, through grace you are forced to go a sinless life and go to heaven whether you are righteous or unrighteous. And because of grace, you have it made, whether you want it or not. Some people's grace is a disgrace, because that in fact is not true. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And how different is the true wonderful grace of God? When you begin to look at the realness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God. And this morning we're going to talk about the amazing power of grace. Even though grace in the minds of many has been so warped and twisted throughout time by those who teach easy believism and just, you know, if you do this and you have a rub-a-dub-dub prayer, you can make it. It's not like that. That's, you know, it's hardly recognizable as the marvelous gift of a loving God that, you know, which it is. And you have a right to know the great scriptural truth that what grace is and what God means by His grace, and having and experiencing the grace of God. And I want to talk to you just for a little bit and tell you truly what grace is this morning. The amazing grace, the wonderful power of grace, that grace provides for you, and how through grace and the love of God your life can be changed and made brand new. Listen to these words in Ephesians chapter 2. We pick up a part of verse 7 there, exceeding riches of His grace. And then we go to verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship. Workmanship. Have you ever looked at that word workmanship? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Workmanship. That word stuck out to me when I was reading this scripture. I am His workmanship. That word in the Greek actually means and is pronounced poema, and it is the word from which we get poem. in our modern language of English. It literally means a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece this morning. You are somebody today. You're special. You have talents and gifts that God has given to you to use and to grow. So we are His masterpiece, the body of believers, not a denomination, but those truly born again of the new birth of water. You've got to be born again of water and of spirit. It says the church of the living God, the bride of Christ, which will someday be raptured into glory. We're going to be forever with the Lord. This church is called the masterpiece of God. We are somebody. Don't walk out in the community and feel down and depressed and like you're worthless or you're not good enough. And you know, I'll be 36 this year, and I thought yesterday when I was praying, man, if I only have 70 years, which I hope I have like 170, God, but 35 now, I'm halfway through. Lord, help me, Jesus. But I'm His masterpiece. I'm not perfect yet. I'm in the workmanship. I'm in the process. And, you know, I'm excited to be here at 35 years of age. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you are smiling. You have a little bit more gray than me. I'm glad you're here. It's not over. Don't give up. Hallelujah. I want to live forever. Hallelujah. I want to be raptured is what I want to be. I want to be caught up to meet Him in the air. Hallelujah. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. But we are the masterpiece of God. We are His workmanship. He is molding us and making us. And none of us, when we first walked into the presence in the house of God, none of us are the same person that we were that very first time. We have all been worked on, taken down and polished and put in the fire and gone through some stuff because we are His workmanship. And you and I have a great honor to be a part of this. And we are told in the verses that it is all done by grace, the exceeding riches of His grace, for by grace are ye saved. Since grace is the means by which we are saved and through it God creates His masterpiece, you and I are a masterpiece this morning. His church, which shall be with Him through all eternity, is of the most vital importance to us to know and understand just what grace is and how we might obtain this grace. And many people have tried to define grace. I found many definitions, and here are just a few that I found. Grace has been called God's goodwill or free, unmerited favor or undeserved goodness of God shown to the fallen man. Pretty good definition. Here's the second definition. It is the free and eternal favor of God, springing of all spiritual blessings bestowed by God. Number three, grace is love unbought, mercy undeserved, and favor unmerited. Although we weren't worthy, He was worthy. Although we weren't deserving, He was deserving. And He came and robed Himself in flesh and shed His blood on Calvary for you and for I, because we are His workmanship. We are His masterpiece. And He wanted there to be a way for us to get back what was stolen and taken from us. Number four, it is the wonderful thing that by which a sinner may be saved unto eternal glory, and without which the best and the most righteous man shall not be saved. It is everything really good and eternal, given and received absolutely free to His heirs. All of these definitions this morning describe grace and tell us how wonderful it is, but they do not actually tell us what it is, nor how we may obtain it in our individual lives. And that is the important thing. That is important. You've got to know how to get the grace of God, the grace of God working in your life. It's like someone saying to you, well, you know, that there's this wonderful creature. Children, there's this wonderful creature that God has made, and it's very friendly. It's very loyal to you, and it'll help you keep scary people away, burglars and thieves away from your home, and you're going to be thrilled. You're going to be excited. And all of you are saying, well, what is it? What is it? How do I get one? And, you know, without the benefits of this creature, and you'll spend a lifetime without the benefits of this creature, and you'll never be able to obtain it because you don't even know what it is that I'm talking about. But if I come back and I tell you, well, you know, it's a trusty, faithful friend called a dog, and you can get one at the pet store or the pound or maybe a friend down the street. And that dog, when you feed it and water and build a relationship with, it's going to love you. And it's going to protect you. It's like Brother Baggett says, he loves his dog because every time he sees it, he knows that that thing loves him. Now, we have a little dog called Diva. When she was younger, I called her Devil Diva. Because she has a little bit of attitude sometimes. But I know that she loves me more than she loves my wife. Don't tell my wife that. Because when she sees it, she doesn't always hear me though, buddy. But when she sees me, when this dog sees me, she wants to, hey, what's going on? I want a treat. Let's play. Let's have a good time. I know that dog loves me. I know that that dog, it's gonna care what I think about it and if I feed it or not and if I take it to the vet. It has a relationship with us. So if you know what it is, then you'll go out and get one. And, you know, I've never been satisfied with just these definitions of grace, wonderful as they are, because they're not the complete answer. Let me tell you what grace truly is. And I'm going to tell you how you can obtain it this morning and the marvelous benefits of the grace of God. The definition I have found most satisfying and helpful to me is this. Grace is the power God gives us to fulfill the will of God in our lives. Yes, it is. He gives us the power to fulfill the will of God in our lives. Whatever the will and purpose of God is for you, grace empowers you to fulfill that perfect plan. And God has a perfect plan for each and every one of us. You are important to the kingdom of God. No, you might never be behind a keyboard or behind your microphone or behind a pulpit, but you have a purpose. You are a masterpiece. You are in the workmanship of God's grace and mercy. Whatever the will and purpose of God is for you, He will give you the power and He will empower you, and the grace empowers you to fulfill that will. Instead of grace leaving the sinner as he or she is in sin, it changes the mind. And instead of grace just leaving you in your own mindset of sin, and it will change you to live for a holy God in a holy way, so He can overlook and ignore your sins. And you know, some teach that grace actually transforms and changes the sinner. Oh, the power of amazing grace this morning. I'm telling you, if you'll let the grace of God step into your life and begin to work on your behalf, things will change. I've got scripture for this. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. The sinner does not have to remain a sinner. The weakling does not have to remain weak. The dope addict does not have to remain an addict. The thief does not have to continue to steal anymore. The prostitute does not have to continue to walk on the street corner. The alcoholic doesn't have to have a bottle anymore, because the power of grace transforms weakness into strength, ugliness into beauty, uncleanness into purity,
sinfulness into holiness and enmity into love. Grace is all sufficient. It is for all classes, for every man and every woman, all circumstances. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are or what kind of career you have. God's grace is for you. It's for you. It's for you. It is the nature of divine grace to flood all the depths and to overflow all the heights of man's need. Oh, the amazing power of grace. Well, Brother Chris, how can this amazing grace that you're talking about become mine? How can I obtain it? How can the power of grace begin to work in its wonderful transformation in my life, Brother Chris? Listen to the gracious words of Jesus in Acts 1 and 8. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Stop. You're going to get power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. We're talking about how to obtain the grace of God. The power of grace is the power of the Holy Ghost. It comes in and with the Holy Ghost.